Welcome to the PT Mata-Hara Department Stores third quarter and 9 months 2017 earnings call. Following the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. For your information, today's call is being recorded. Our call today will be hosted by our CEO, Mr. Richard Gibson, and our CFO, Mrs. Clarissa Yosop. I will now turn the conference over to our first speaker, Mr. Richard Gibson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining our third quarter earnings call. To help those who are not able to join us this evening, we'll be recording this call, and we'll post it to our website afterwards. In line with the guidance we gave on our last call, our third quarter same-store sales growth came in at -26%. As you know, this was primarily driven by the seasonal shift of LeBaron into June this year, which, of course, impacted our same-store sales number in July. We have not seen a further weakening in our consumer base. In fact, we posted a small increase in same-store sales growth in August and September. On a nine-month basis, our same-store sales growth came in at -2.7%. As you know, our strategic initiatives are centered around how we can serve our existing customers better and also grow our overall customer base by attracting new customers. In parallel with that, we're focused on continuing to drive efficiencies across the organization. In fact, our efficiency programs have proceeded well this year and have partly offset some of the leverage challenges that come with lower sales. As a result of that, despite the negative same-store sales growth, we increased our year-to-date merchandise margin by 20 basis points and delivered an EBITDA margin of 16.4% of sales and net income of 1.5 trillion rupiah. I'll go into more specifics regarding our merchandising and store initiatives later in the call, but for now, I'll turn it over to Clarissa, our CFO, who will first discuss our financial results.
Thank you, Richard. Let's start off by turning to page 4, which shows updated macroeconomic data. Consumer confidence rose in July at 123.4, but declined in August to 121.9. September rose again to 123.8 due to rising expectations of improved job availability and business activities over the next 6 months. Inflation continues to moderate, with September inflation declining to 3.72% from August 3.82%. Over the remaining months of 2017, we maintain our cautious stance on the consumer. As Richard said, we are not seeing the situation worsening, as evidenced by our slightly positive SSSG in August and September. That said, we have yet to see a significant recovery in consumption, and are of the opinion that this would more likely materialize in 2018, following increased government's efforts to boost infrastructure spending and activities around the regional elections that will likely take place in the middle of next year. Turning to page 6, we can see the highlights of the third quarter and year to date. As we had cautioned previously, the negative SSSG in Q3 was mainly due to the calendar shift and not worsening conditions in August or September. Despite the weak top line, our nine-month merchandise margin improved by 20 basis points, and overall, our year-to-date EBITDA and net income slightly dropped by 4.8% and 6.5% respectively. On slide 7, you can see Q3 sales were affected by seasonality as discussed already, and overall sales were in line largely with last year at 13.2 trillion. In terms of sales mix, DP sales account for 36.6% of total sales in Q3 and 37% in the 9 months, a small increase over the same period last year. Turning to page 8. You can see our comp store performance. Given the LeBaron shift from July last year to June this year, our Q3 SSSG was -26%, comprising a negative 24.7% reduction in volume and a small reduction in AUR of negative 1.7% due to the typical post-seasonal markdown. On a year-to-date basis, the breakdown of the negative SSSG of 2.7% had volumes declining by 4.7% owing to lower traffic, offset by a small 2% increase in average unit retail. Both our average basket size and units per transaction increased, which suggests that our efforts of trying to understand our customers better and enhancing overall customer in-store experience is starting to bear fruit, helping to mitigate the impact of overall weaker macro environment. Our SSSG forecast for the full year remains at flat to low single-digit negative, with December obviously being a significant part of the fourth quarter. If consumer spending remains subdued, the overall SSSG for the year will likely approximate where we are currently at the end of Q3. On slide 9, overall, we are continuing to see consumer weakness across most regions, with Greater Jakarta SSSG at negative 3.1%, Java ex Jakarta at negative 2%, and outside Java at negative 3.1%, the same as Greater Jakarta. Turning to page 10, you can see our merchandise margin performance. On a quarterly basis, gross margin dropped by 10 basis points to 34.7% for the reasons mentioned earlier. But on a year-to-date basis, we still see an uplift in margins by 20 basis points to 35.8%. On slide 11, you can see year-to-date OPEX as a percentage to gross sales rising by 100 basis points. But on a comp store basis, it is less pronounced at 10 basis points increase, owing to the continued efficiency initiatives. These continue to be driven by payroll efficiencies and energy. Page 12 shows our EBITDA performance. Expense savings partially offset negative leverage due to the lower sales, with 9 months EBITDA declining by 4.8%. Page 13 shows our year-to-date net income coming in 6.5% lower than last year. Turning to page 14, our inventory days increased from 112 days at the end of June 2017 to 118 days at the end of September, still within our range of less than 120 days, although pressured a little with the continuing consumer weakness. Our cash on hand was 768 billion, with no outstanding bank loan balance. CapEx and refurbishment plans remain unchanged. I will now turn it back over to Richard, who will go into more detail on some of our operational and strategic initiatives.
Thank you, Clarissa. Turning to page 16, you can see that we continued with our new store opening program, opening one new store in Q3. This gave us 1,017,281 square meters at the end of Q3. As many of you know, we did close 2 underperforming stores in October, and now our overall store count is 154 with space of 997,462 square meters. Despite the store closures, our store expansion policy remains unchanged, and we also remain confident that we can open another 1 to 3 additional stores by the year end. We are at an important stage in our evolution, where we will be introducing innovative ways to further enhance the customer experience, both in-store and with our merchandise assortment. Our focus will be centered on better fulfilling our customers' needs, even greater value, faster time to market, and more fashionable assortment. In a nutshell, we want to serve our existing customers better than we have done before, and also attract new customers to expand our overall base. One example of this is our new strategic partnership with Disney, which allows us to bring exciting and exclusive product into our stores and showcase them in a way that makes it fun to shop. Also, on the merchandising side, we are adjusting and simplifying some of our categories where we feel we are over-assorted, as well as adding ranges where we feel the customer may be currently underserved. In terms of adding ranges, as I just mentioned before, we were very excited to recently announce our multi-year agreement with Disney, which brings us a variety of exclusive original products and allows us to operate with them as part of their DTR, or direct-to-retail program. We will bring in the product on a direct purchase basis with higher margins than consignment. The partnership also allows us to collaborate directly with Disney in terms of marketing efforts and promotions. We also have a number of other merchandising initiatives that we're working on and that we will provide details on as we move forward. One area where we have not grown as much as we would have liked is in our bags and accessories department, which are predominantly consignment merchandising. We've recently concluded a test of our own private label direct purchase assortment, which performed very well, and we will be rolling that out to the chain. We're also currently testing an extension of our shoes and apparel collection to appeal to the more active lifestyle consumer. This is a segment where we feel that we can generate incremental sales, and a segment that we feel is also underserved in our stores today. On the store operations side, we're working on enhancements to both in-store processes and the physical store environment. We're currently testing changing some of our merchandise adjacencies in store, installing new fixtures in selected departments, and also generally giving better access to customers in terms of circulation around our stores. Our overall goal is to have every customer that visits our stores leaving feeling good as a result of their experience and engagement from our team. On the marketing side, we're continuing with our promotional messaging, but we are simplifying our markdown policies, and we're also significantly increasing our marketing spend on social media and digital marketing. In fact, by the end of the year, we will have tripled our spend in these areas. Our loyalty program also continues to do well, with active members rising nearly 40% over last year to 4.87 million and accounting for almost 50% of our total sales. Our ability to track their behaviors gives us a unique insight into our customers' purchasing habits. If you look at page 18, we again have provided some key statistics for MatahariStore.com performance. As you can see, the online sales transactions remained fairly stable at about 130 or so thousand in the third quarter, despite the usual expected drop post LeBaron. Interestingly, our store pickup transactions almost doubled, actually more than doubled, from our third quarter. We do expect our fourth quarter online sales to continue to grow, and also, with the improved range of styles that we are now carrying, we expect 2018 to be an important year for significant growth. Turning to page 19. As many of you know, logistics has been and continues to be a core competency of Matahari. To give more focus to its continued development, we have created a 100% owned subsidiary called PT Matahari Nusantara Logistics to further enhance our capabilities. We have built a 7,400 square meter facility in central Jakarta to specifically handle pick, pack, and ship operations related to online sales, as well as also providing fast replenishment to our Nevada store. A similar facility is being developed at our Surabaya hub, which is being expanded from 3,000 to 8,000 square meters. That will also handle offline transshipments, store deliveries, as well as direct-to-customer fulfillment. In parallel with this, we have expanded our owned and operated fleet to handle not just Greater Jakarta, as we do currently, but also deliveries to Bandung and Surabaya. We don't anticipate these expansions adding to our overall costs. In fact, we believe they will be earnings accretive, as it allows us to reduce transportation costs further, as well as expand the services we offer to our third-party suppliers. Next year, we plan to introduce direct fulfillment from stores, which allows us to deliver online purchases to our customers within a short lead time and in a very cost-effective manner. We see direct from store fulfillment as a complement to our pick-pack-ship operations in major urban configurations. So in summary, on page 20, as Clarissa mentioned, Q3 same-store sales growth came in at negative 26%, primarily due to the seasonal shift in LeBaron, with year-to-date same-store sales growth being negative 2.7%. Our expansion plans remain unchanged, with 6 to 8 new stores earmarked for completion in 2017. Our merchandise and operational initiatives are on track, including the signing of the multi-year agreement with Disney. We are further developing our logistics capabilities to support both offline and online sales, and at the same time, reducing overall transportation costs. As I said, our overall strategy is to continuously explore ways to better serve our existing customers, as well as to grow our overall customer base. Thank you very much for listening to us today, and now we will open it up to any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Sylvania Afrin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first one around guidance. I know Clarissa mentioned that, the same-store sales growth for the full year will approximate where we are today. So does that mean that there is a revision in guidance? Because you previously mentioned that it's flat, but we are actually at negative 2 point something today. How do you think about that? So that's the first question. The second question, with regards to the logistic arm of Matahari Nusantara, the delivery services, can you talk about how or what sort of businesses these guys are going to be doing? Are they going to be servicing is this in conjunction with the e-commerce business of MatahariMall.com as well, running the logistics warehouse together? How does it work? So those are my two questions for now. Thank you.
Sure. So just to clarify on your first question, our guidance actually remains unchanged. So, Clarissa said that, the full year guidance remains at flat to low single digit negative, and that's our view of where we're going to end up at the moment. We do anticipate a little bit of a lift as we move through the next couple of months. But if the consumer spending weakens a little bit, then we'll probably, as she said, probably end up around the sort of negative 2 to 3%. But at the moment, we are maintaining our forecast at flat to low single digit, which obviously encompasses that. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Yeah. So on the logistics side, Yeah, sure. So on the logistics side, I think actually this is quite exciting. I think, I mean, for those of you that don't know, basically our distribution center is based in Balaraja. And what we basically do is we bring all of our direct purchase merchandise into that facility and then distribute it to our stores. But we also, because we are able to operate it in a very cost-effective fashion, a lot of our consignment vendors also leverage off of our logistics infrastructure to develop, to transport goods to our stores on their behalf. We charge them a small fee for that, but it is a very successful program, which means today we are effectively able to run our distribution center at zero cost. So that's where we are today. We've identified a couple of opportunities. With our hub facilities, for example, in Surabaya, currently we utilize third-party logistics to transport goods from Balaraja to Surabaya. By investing in expanding our own fleet to service that route, we're able to achieve significant reductions in the transportation costs that we pay at the moment. We believe that that will actually lead us to attract more consignment vendors to utilize our logistics backbone, if you like, to supply goods on their behalf to our stores. Particularly, of course, as a lot of our vendors are located around the Surabaya and Bandung areas. We're currently, obviously, we only focus at the moment on our Matahari deliveries and for deliveries for our consignment vendors. So we're not carrying out deliveries at the moment for MatahariMall.com. Having said that, with our new entity that we're setting up, it does potentially open up the possibility down the road to carry out logistics services for other third parties. So, we're excited about it. And as I said, just even if we do what we do today, we do believe that this will be earnings accretive and will actually boost our capabilities and also, more importantly, increase our time to market as well. By operating these more closely ourselves, we're able to reduce our delivery time to the stores. So that's another positive as well.
Got it. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Yanni Asman from Maybank. Please go
ahead. Hi. Good afternoon, Richard and Clarissa. Thank you for having us on this call. I just have some question about the contract with Disney. I understand that you're going to do a direct purchase for the Disney product. I just wonder, because Disney products are now also sold on other retailer establishments, how are you going to differentiate your selection compared to other stores? And my second question is, since this logistic initiative is going to give some margin accretion to the operation, can you share like how much distribution cost can you save with this initiative? Thank you.
Hi. So just to start off with the logistics side, we think that in the short term, we think that there would be just a minimal improvement to our transportation costs. So obviously something that moves the direct purchase margin in the right way. But I think at this point, it will be very small. Clearly, if the logistics capabilities were to expand further and carry out more work for other people, then obviously, that would actually turn the distribution center into more of a profit center. But I wouldn't forecast an improvement in the merchandise margin at the moment, just based on the logistics investment. Although, when we've looked at the paybacks, we're actually very, very excited by what we can achieve in a relatively short period of time in terms of our operating costs. As it relates with Disney, obviously we're just starting out on what is going to be a multi-year partnership with them. Basically what it means is that we're actually free to work with their design team to create product that would be exclusive to us. We would work closely with their designers, as we have done on some of the product that you're seeing in stores now. And then, of course, we work very closely with them, getting joint approval on factories that are up to the standards that we're all comfortable with. So, you know, we're very excited by this. We have spent a lot of time looking at the projected size of the Disney consumer products market in Indonesia. And, we feel that as we grow this business over the next few years, that it will be quite an important part of our children's and, in fact, our teen business. So we're pretty excited about it. But as I alluded to on the call, the Disney initiative is just one piece of a number of initiatives that we're working on. And we do hope to share more about those with you as we move forward and we put the arrangements in place.
Oh, okay. Oh, and again, sorry, can I have the detail of the warehouse that you're going to inject into this logistic company?
So, well, this is a 100% owned subsidiary of ours. So we're basically just setting up a subsidiary within Mata Hari for a couple of different reasons. Firstly, it enables us to secure the appropriate licenses that we need to operate. But effectively, what we're doing, if you more specifically, without going into too much detail, originally, if you go back a few years, we used a kind of a third-party area in Surabaya for our hub, if you like, which was basically where we have the large trucks and we decant the product to smaller trucks for delivery to stores within that location. What we've subsequently done is we then acquired a 3,000 square meter facility that we took a long-term lease on. And again, we developed our own hub facilities, which were very much more efficient than they had been before. Now we have the opportunity to actually extend that very same piece of the hub to enhance it more, to make it larger so that it can handle more volume, but also within that to create, very much like we've done in central Jakarta, to create a pick-pack-ship operation, which allows us to actually handle B2C transactions and fulfill them very effectively. So I think, all in all, I think this is an interesting thing that we're doing.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Richard.
We will now take our next question. Vivi Lee from Citigroup, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks Richard for the presentation. I just have several questions. One is on the e-commerce. I think you mentioned that the 2018 is going to be an important year for e-commerce. And does that mean you're expecting a contribution to increase from the online? And if yes, do you have any approximation how much will it be and how it will impact in terms of profitability? And second is for the activewear that you mentioned. So just to clarify, does that mean you're adding a sportswear category into the store? And will this be mainly DP or are you going to work with some of your existing consignment partner? I'll stop here.
Sure. Okay, so yes, first question on e-commerce. So if you recall, we only really launched MataHariStore.com, I think, last November. So we're kind of very much going through a learning process this year. As you probably are aware, we've got much closer to pieces of the operation, such as we're now handling the fulfillment for MataHariStore.com ourselves. We're able to do that, we think, very effectively at the moment using our hub in central Jakarta. Our end game, of course, though, is that unless the store is within a dense urban area, that we would actually fulfill the product from store for both time and cost reasons. So anyway, we've learned a lot as we've gone through the year. You're probably aware that the site currently is probably running around about a big store, just over a big store's worth in terms of volume. So it doesn't have a material impact on our results at the moment. In 2018, I think that, you know, I think we're a little bit smarter, and I think we're a little bit more effective at the way in which we're managing our product on the site. So I would see that, you know, my anticipation is that our e-commerce sales in 2018 will easily double what we do this year, and possibly more. But you know, we'll keep reporting on it quarterly. And as I had said from the beginning, you know, once it gets to the stage where it has a material impact on our financial statements, then we will break out selected pieces of it, so that you can, you know, keep an eye on it, obviously, as well. We exclude revenue from our e-commerce site from our comp stores calculations. So, you know, whenever we talk about our same store sales growth, we're talking about the, you know, obviously the offline piece of the company. Second question is a good question. Yes. The quick answer is yes. Yes, yes, and both, I think, is the easiest way to answer it. So we feel, you know, we're actually, the largest shoe seller in Indonesia today. We have the largest selection of shoes. We do just over 20% of our business in shoes, and it's actually grown this year as well. But one area where we really feel that we've been lacking is in the, you know, the sportswear, athletic shoes, athleisure, whatever category, and we feel that this is a big opportunity for us. We have a little bit of business that we do in that area today, but we feel that that we can enhance the customer offering, and really we feel it'll be a huge benefit. It's something that we would tackle both from a direct purchase and a consignment side. We are going to directly to a couple of sportswear vendors directly. So it will be a mix of the two. But we think it's an exciting opportunity for us. It is at the early stages, but we did want to, you know, share with you some of the things that we're working on.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Permanda Darmona from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Hi, good afternoon, Richard and Clarissa. Thanks again for the presentation. So I've got three questions. Obviously, there's been a lot of debate in the news and media on e-commerce. Several government officials, as well as the Retail Association, has alluded that store closures in department stores is due to online disruption. I'd be grateful for your comments around that. Secondly, on e-commerce, is it within scope for Matahari Department Store to work with the other sort of large players to set up Matahari Store online stores in players such as Lazada, Tokopedia, and so forth? And lastly, on the logistics endeavor, is that going to be exclusive for Matahari Department Store, or will you be doing some business as well for third parties, including for MatahariMall.com fulfillment? Thank you.
Yeah. So take that in reverse order. So on the logistics side, as we build up the logistics operation and make it even more efficient. You know, obviously the number one role of the logistics division is to service our stores. Obviously, we have layered on top of that work offering the facilities to our own consignment vendors, which, as I said before, has been very successful. But by setting up the company in this way, we are able to broaden that down the road and offer these facilities to other third-party vendors as well. Obviously, with the sort of volumes that we ship to our offline stores, just expanding our current consignment vendor base could potentially be very beneficial for us. We think at the very least, like I mentioned, that it would more than set off offset the additional costs of the operation. So we're actually quite excited about that initiative. But it won't detract, obviously, from our core focus on making sure that we get product to our stores on time and, obviously, to our customers on time if they order online. The second question you had, the first question you had was about e-commerce and was it connected with store closures. Obviously, we can't talk to any of the other retailers as to the reasons why they may be closing stores. We have just, as I mentioned, we just closed two stores. There's no connection with the closure of those two stores and e-commerce at all. In fact, we actually have a very, very small group of stores that are slightly cash flow negative. And these are two stores that we had the ability to exit the lease without penalty from. And so we took advantage of that because the stores had not been performing as we had originally anticipated. I think that hopefully that answers that question. The second question, you might have to repeat again.
Work with other
large e-commerce. Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I think it's interesting. Really very, very interesting when you look at the e-commerce landscape today in Indonesia. It's moving quickly. It's very interesting to watch what's going on, what people are doing. I do think, though, it's fair to say that at this point, I think nobody has really quite figured out what the right model is. So I think that when we look at our strategy going forward as it relates to MatahariStore.com, I think we're going to be as flexible as we can. We will just try our best to, increase our overall sales, whether people come to our site, through any channel. Obviously, right now, our biggest focus is on driving customers to MatahariStore.com. And also, given our relationship with them and the agreement with them, we also benefit from all of the traffic that goes to MatahariMall.com and then goes through to MatahariStore.com. So we don't have any plans to change that at the moment. Because also one of the things that we are finding particularly interesting is tracking the behavior of people who do shop for our products online and then tying that to the shopping behavior of those same customers offline. So at the moment, we're really in a stage where we're learning as much as we can about the business and trying to gain as much intelligence as we can, intelligence that we would not be able to get from other players. But, we continue to move forward. We're excited. I mean, we still firmly believe that, with our stable of, brands, private label brands, that we will have a part to play in e-commerce in the future.
Thanks very much for the answers to those questions.
We will now take our next question from Albert Maslam from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for your... I have several questions from me. First one is, how do you see the positive impact of the more stringent measure in the custom compliance, since the mid of this year? And second is, how proportion of your merchandise is imported? And the last one is, do you see any supplier of getting difficulties to import the fabric? Thanks.
take it one at a time.
Sorry, can you please repeat your questions and can you go one at a time?
Oh.
Sorry. Sure. The so line wasn't very clear earlier.
Oh, yeah, hello. Yeah, my first question is how do you see the impact from the more stringent measure for the custom compliance in mid-year?
Can I just repeat? So you're asking how do we see the impact of the stricter tax?
Yeah, custom compliance.
Regulation? Customs or tax compliance?
Custom.
Oh, custom.
Yes, custom compliance.
I think it's fair to say, jump in, Clarissa, if you have anything to add. I think it's fair to say that we have not seen any material change. Obviously, I think we have heard that, as the, customs facilities become more efficient, that could potentially lead to more delays in terms of importing goods. But, as it relates to our stores, obviously what you need to remember is that, more than 80% of our product is locally sourced. But we're not aware specifically of other retailers having major problems in terms of importing. But obviously the more efficient that the customs people become, then,
okay, because maybe like the other retailers, because of course, but do you see any your supplier is complaining to get, say, like imported fabric from outside? Or your supplier also?
Our vendors are used to importing fabric. Obviously, they import fabric, well in advance of cutting and sewing. But we haven't noticed any change in terms of our supply chain, in terms of the vendors being able to fulfill their orders for us.
Okay, get it. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, pleasure. If we didn't quite answer all your questions, please feel free to email us as well, and we can go into it in more detail.
We will now take our next question from Laura Taslim from Mandiri Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, Richard and Clarissa. I have several questions. First, in the logistic business, may I know how big is the CapEx spend for this one? And how big is the CapEx budget plan in the near future, if you can share with us? And the second one is, how big is the current logistic cost to your total revenue? Just curious about that. And then for the third tranches of investment in mataharimall.com, when it will be done? Because I noticed, I think it should be done by third quarter, but you haven't paid the third tranche yet, yeah. And then for the mataharistore.com, in the future, are you going to have a huge capex or investment in mataharistore.com? Yeah, I think that's all for me.
Okay. I jotted those down, albeit quite quickly. We anticipate making the final tranche payment in the fourth quarter of the 212 billion. That was to complete our investment in Matahari Mall. And as we've said in the past, we're not making any additional investments. Interestingly enough, on the logistics side, the quick answer to your question is very little capex. The majority of the capex we're spending relates to the purchase of the additional truck and also the installation of the additional racking. Because the facilities, as you know, or as you may know, very much in line with our overall strategy of kind of remaining asset light. So We have not purchased the facilities. We've instead basically entered into long-term leases, kind of 5 plus 5, if you like. As it relates to our logistics cost as a percent of total revenues, if we just look at the cost of the distribution center, the hubs, and the fleet, basically, we're fortunate enough to actually we run that as zero, at a 0% of revenues, because the costs that we incur for, you know, running the current facilities are offset by the revenue that we generate by handling the consignment vendors' freight on their behalf, and that's an area actually that continues to grow. And we think that by adding these additional, albeit relatively inexpensive facilities, it'll not only improve our own operation and handling of the direct purchase goods, but will actually attract more CV vendors, and then potentially down the road third-party vendors to avail themselves of, you know, our facilities and our backbone.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
We will now take our next question from Adit Sernath from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time and the opportunity. I actually have two questions. First is, if on, you know, you have given us fairly clear guidance now on how the rest of, to expect for the rest of the year. Could you give us some early indications on how you're thinking about next year, 2018, either in terms of revenues or the same store opportunity? I remember that three months back, maybe the same call, you were still confident that next year could be a 5% year on your same store year. So one is, how are you thinking about next year at this time, given what we see in the economy and so on? The second question is that now, once you're done with the last bit of capital call from that you require for your investment, how are you thinking in terms of dividends? If you could reiterate thoughts there, and just given where the stock price is are things like a buyback and so on an option at all for the company to consider? And if it is or isn't, what are your considerations in thinking of slightly more active capital management? Thank you very much.
Sure. I think that was more than two questions. But anyway, so just to quickly kick off, not necessarily in the same order. So, you know, our dividend currently is 70%. At the moment, we do not see any change to that at all as we move through into next year. So that's that on dividends. As it relates to share buyback, we've had a couple of questions on this, and I think that, you know, essentially, you know, the board is always considering ways to enhance shareholder value. And so, you know, currently that includes, but is not necessarily limited to, considering the possibility of share buybacks. If any decisions are made on that, we will obviously inform everybody at the same time. As it relates to our outlook for 2018, actually, you know, Clarissa kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. We are definitely have a more positive viewpoint when it comes to 2018. I think that, you know, we feel that our store growth, I think that for 2018, we're probably going to be looking at 6 to 8 new stores as well. We have pretty much got our pipeline lined up for that for 2018. A caveat to that is that, as I mentioned, we do have one or two stores that are cash flow, you know, slightly negative. If we have an opportunity to escape from a lease at any point, you know, through the end of 2018, we would avail ourselves of that. But irrespective of that, we still feel quite confident about the 6 to 8 additional stores for next year. Same store sales growth is interesting. You know, we did suggest that We did say that August and September we began to see a slight positive in our same-store sales growth. Obviously, we'll have to see how the next couple of months go. But I really feel a lot more optimistic personally about 2018. I think that we are seeing some signs of improvement in some of the government statistics, and so we've always felt that the current consumer weakness, is very much cyclical as opposed to structural. It's too early at this point for us to give you any real guidance in terms of same-store sales growth. But at this point in time, I think that, I would certainly still feel comfortable, with a mid-single-digit same-store sales growth for next year.
Great, very clear. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
We will now take our next question from Steve Hyunda from United Overseas Banks. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. I have a couple of questions. First question would actually be, looking at what is happening on the online space with, $1 billion investment in Tokopedia, etc., considering that the person behind the competitor and the e-commerce space is much, much larger than that of the group or sister company, a.k.a. Are you concerned about that investment? So that's number one. Number two, looking at this, your stock price, which is very cheap. I mean, one of my articles did mention, what can you do aside from dividend or buyback on that part? And possibly third, this, to be honest, has not been a good year, if we're honest with each other on to Matahari. First of all, what do you see is the cause of it? Is it specialty store? Is it e-commerce? Because they are doing very well, if you look at the latest result coming in for MAPI on the specialty side. And most importantly is, how do you become better, aside from just relying on purchasing power that is well beyond your control, So, those are actually my three questions. Thank you.
Okay, good questions. We've certainly been disappointed with this year. It has been a challenging year. Obviously, we've done a lot of, we've looked very closely at our business. We've looked very closely at other people's businesses as well. At the end of the day, there's really only two causes of weakness in terms of, the consumer as it relates to our same-store sales growth. Either customers are shopping less or they're shopping elsewhere. As I think we talked about on our last call, we're not seeing a material impact on our sales for people shopping elsewhere. And that includes other offline, and obviously there's competition, and online, obviously, where, again, as you said, there is more competition. But from what we've looked at, we've not seen that's having the material impact on our sales. What we do believe is having a material impact is we do believe that the consumer has been weaker. Hasn't affected everybody, but it has, I would say, has generally affected retailers, generally affected consumer goods companies, and a number of other areas as well. But like I said, I think that, we're very confident in the fact that this is cyclical. We feel very good about our target middle income segment, and the tailwinds that we've always had are still there, and we do believe that this is going to come back. And I think when it does come back, I think it's going to come back perhaps faster than people think. The stock price, obviously, we can't control the stock price per se. But as I mentioned to the previous caller, as I said, our board's always thinking through if there are actions that the company can take that would add value to the shareholders. So I think as it relates to that, I think one would just have to wait and see, you know, if anything does come up, we will, of course, make sure that we disseminate that immediately. You know, the online space, I mean, again, obviously Alibaba is very big, bigger than most companies. Are we concerned about it? I think the way we look at it is that we see it as a natural evolution. I mean, I think e-commerce will obviously continue to develop in Indonesia. It'll reach a level of penetration, and we're not sure what that would be. But we feel that we're really underserving the market as it stands today. You know, we've talked many times in the past about, you know, really we should have more than 400 stores. That still remains the case today. We don't believe that underserved population is going to be totally served by a rise in e-commerce. We do see our own e-commerce activity growing. And again, I think that, you know, our focus has got to be on really building our brands and really just kind of try to strive to give excellence to our customers. I mean, we do believe we have terrific product, a great value, but we're not, you know, stopping there. You know, we're trying to improve our assortments and also, I think, create more interesting experiences in the stores as well themselves. I hope that answers your question as best I can.
That was our final question today. I would now like to hand the call back for any additional or closing remarks.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? I'm sorry. We're happy to take a couple more questions if there are still people waiting. Maybe, well, why don't we take two or three more questions and then we can wrap it up in about five minutes or 10 minutes when I think the call ends.
Perfect. I will now take our next question from Gabor Sitani from CCL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks very much for taking the question. I just wanted to follow up on the SSSG issue because, to be frank, the 5% recovery we're talking about in 2018, that still seems quite soft given the very weak base in 2017 and also considering that it's supposed to be a pre-election year. So what does that say to us in terms of the ongoing mid-cycle SSG you would expect for the next 3 to 5 years? Is it the case that it should be, you know, entering a phase of more low to mid-single digit because inflation is coming down and perhaps the consumer is permanently weakened, how we should think about it? Because I would have thought that in a cyclical recovery situation, 5% really not particularly strong. And my second question would be, what would that, if the ongoing mid-cycle situation is more of a low single-digit situation, what would that suggest for margins? How hard you would need to work even to maintain margins, let alone to improve them? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did give a caveat in my last answer that, you know, it's really a little bit premature at the moment for us to give specific guidance for next year. So, you know, mid-single digits is really kind of looked upon as a sort of a range. You know, I think that obviously for our own internal planning purposes, we want to try to plan our expense levels and our costs and all the rest of it, assuming basically very limited pickup in terms of the consumer. But we do believe, again, for the reasons I mentioned, we do believe that we will see the beginning of a recovery as we move into 2018, if not before. You know, we still have a couple of large months to go. So I would say, you know, hate, it's an overused phrase, but I think that we do feel cautiously optimistic. I think that when the consumer comes back fully, then I would definitely, see a higher level of same-store sales growth after that. You know, I don't think there's any reason why, you know, once the consumer's fully back, that we shouldn't be in the high single digits or whatever, or even beyond.
Understand. Just perhaps a small question on did that small positive SSSG actually continue in October? I mean, obviously, October is in the bag now, which kind of gives you confidence that it should be, for the full year, a smaller negative than the first 9 months?
Yeah. We're not able to comment on we're not able to comment specifically on individual months. I actually don't have the final sales figures for October yet, not until tomorrow. You know, obviously, you know, when we said that we feel that, you know, things are certainly stable, and I think that the fact that we feel that, you know, that we feel that there could potentially be a pickup as we move forward, particularly as we move into 2018, should give you an indication of where we're at.
Thanks. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Vivi Lee from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, Richard. Thanks. Just some follow-up question. On the store closures, should we expect any one-off penalty with this associated with the store closings in the fourth quarter? And second is on the logistics. So I just want to clarify. So essentially, it was the logistics was a division of Matahari, and now they're just spinning it off to a 100% subsidiary. And how can you share how much of your current consignment actually use the facility to serve, to do their distribution? Thank you.
Sure. So, so firstly, start off with no penalties for the two store closures in the fourth quarter. That's the first one. As it relates to logistics, you know, it's 100% owned subsidiary. We're not spinning it off. It's effectively, you know, a subsidiary sitting underneath MDS. As it relates to consignment vendors, you know, obviously there's a couple of different ways to look at it. There's a question of how many consignment vendors, but then there's also how much volume do those consignment vendors give us. I think it's fair to say that we probably handle probably just over half of our consignment vendors as it relates to overall volume. Which I think is really very encouraging, because when you think about it, you know, our consignment vendors, they're certainly under no obligation to use our facilities. The reason they're doing so is obviously because we're able, even with a very small fee, we're able to offer them better rates than they can get themselves from other third-party logistics suppliers. You know, third-party logistics in Indonesia is still very largely fragmented. And I think so the ability to use an organization such as ourselves to safely get their goods to our stores, I think is very appealing to a lot of them. And I think, quite frankly, I think it's an area that will continue to grow as it has done this year.
Okay, thank you.
I think we probably have time. I know we're a little bit over time, but I think we have time probably for one or two more questions.
We will now take our next question from Kivi Atia from CIMB Indonesia. Please go ahead.
Hi, Richard and Clarissa. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a few follow-up questions. The first one is, you've done a great job in doing cost control throughout the year amidst the declining SSSG. Can you please share more on the further cost efficiency measures that may be in stores for the next few quarters? My second question is, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard you briefly mention that you might be reviewing several stores that is currently having negative cash flow. Is that mean that there's possibility of closing several other underperforming stores next year? I think that's all. Thank you.
Okay. So, firstly, as it relates to, we literally have a tiny handful, less than a dozen of stores that are either on the cusp or slightly cash flow negative. So no, we will not be closing several stores in the coming year. It is possible that there could be one you know, maybe two, but I don't, you know, again, like I said, we would only do it if presented with an opportunity to get out of the lease without any penalties. So, you know, we have a pretty large property portfolio right now. It's a very healthy portfolio, but just like any other retailer, you know, we're continually reviewing it. You know, sometimes we'll relocate stores if a better mall opens up. So, you know, there are other strategic reasons for, you know, either opening or closing stores. As it relates to cost controls, we have tried to really focus on that, as I said in the very opening introduction. You know, I think as it relates to, you know, 2018, you know, I think we probably have, in terms of our energy savings, I think they're pretty much behind us. As if you recall, a lot of those savings were generated as a result of the implementation of our LED lighting throughout the chain, which is largely finished now. We continue to look at other expenses, though. You know, I mean, obviously the whole efficiency of our labor force is something we're continually looking at. And it's not about reducing staff. It's about making sure that we match the staff we have with the customer traffic flow. And, you know, I think we've done a fairly good job this year, but I think we can continue to do, you know, an even better job in better utilizing those resources. Because if you do that, then effectively what you can do is you can leverage or you can mitigate the impact of rising expense costs by using them in a better way that can help generate additional sales. So, you know, we will continue to look at that, as indeed all our operations. But our real focus, number one focus, is going to be on the customer, and the key is to get the top line moving. And that's why we're sharing a lot today, and we're putting a tremendous amount of energy within the company into these new merchandise initiatives, which, as I said before, we'll release more information on that as we go through the next several months.
Okay, thank you.
Good. I think that's probably us out of time. So I do apologize, but if anybody else does have any additional questions, please feel free to email myself or Clarissa or Maggie or indeed our email, which is
IR@matahari.co.id,
and we'll promise you we'll get back to you as soon as we possibly can. And we will obviously post this onto the website so you can review any of our previous answers. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to us today. We look forward to meeting some of you, I think, in person as we attend some of the upcoming investor conferences.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.